Good morning. Today's Daf and Nazir is Gimel. We are starting today on Beis Amud Beis. We're going to be at the two dots with the words Ahen and Nazir. And today's going to be day number two in terms of the Masechta, and day number two in terms of discussing and describing Yados. So this was a lengthy discussion in Darim. Here in Nazir, it's going to be a much more abbreviated discussion, but still, we're going to talk about the formulation of becoming a Nazir using a Yad. Yesterday in the Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the Perek, first Mishnah of the Masechta, so we were introduced to how to become a Nazir, and that is by declaration, like any Neder. So the way that you become bound by a Neder is via declaration. Nazir is a subcategory of Neder, and so therefore you become a Nazir using a declaration. The best way to make the declaration is by clarity, by stating the Neder as clearly as one could, and full articulation. However, that's not the only way to make a Neder. You can make a neder using a kinu, you can make a neder using a yad. So these are ideas and concepts that we discussed extensively back in Adarim. And yesterday we spent the first Mishnah going over and reintroducing ourselves to the idea of kinuyim and yados. So kinuyim, as we already know, are basically corrupted forms of speech. Now I say corrupted, it's not really corrupted. There are two interpretations of what a kinui is. We quoted Tosos yesterday on Beis Amud Aleph, who quotes the Gemara in Adarim on Daf Yud. And a kinui could either be interpreted as it's just simply saying the word but in another language. Instead of saying the word carbon, you say konam, which in another language means carbon. Don't ask me what language, I don't know. But anyway, but it's lashon acher, just simply using another language. Alternatively, a kinui could just simply be lashon shebadu chachamim, manufactured language that came up, but the chachamim came up with. Okay, it's a machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Good. Anyway, we didn't spend much time with kinuyim. We just simply noted that the Mishnah opened up with the words called kinuyim nazirus kinazirus. The header of the Mishnah is kinuyim, and then the Mishnah immediately launched into examples of giving yados. Okay, and we addressed that yesterday. That was yesterday's daf. Good. And then the other way to formulate a neder is using a yad. So the word yad literally means hand, but over here it means handle, which means that instead of making a full sentence, you make a partial sentence. And in the partial sentence that you make, so as long as there is enough information given the partial sentence where we know what you meant, so that will serve as a declaration. It's not a full sentence. It's a partial sentence. But still, as long as it's unambiguous enough, so then it will serve as a way of becoming a Nazir. Okay. So what exactly is going to be examples of Yados? So we saw yesterday in the Mishnah. In fact, if we can all turn back to the Mishnah, just quickly to go over the examples, because over here to appreciate today's daf, so really you need familiarity with the Mishnah and really the structure of the Mishnah. So let's go back to the Mishnah. Let's review. The Mishnah opened up with the words called kinuyim nazirus kinazirus, and then the Mishnah goes on to say haomer ehei. That is a very simple example of a yad. I simply say the word ehei. Now yesterday the Gemara already struggled. If you say ahei, literally the words means I will be. So how in the world does that mean that the person is going to become a Nazir? That was yesterday's Gemara, that was yesterday's question. And Shmuel's response to that is that there was a Nazir walking in front of him. And he looks at the Nazir and he points and he says, hey, I would like to be. Good. So in other words, so that was the partial sentence coupled together with also the contextual clue. So when you have a Yad, and again, what you expressed is not sufficient, but there's enough contextual clues that indicate what you meant, that will be sufficient. Continuing in the Mishnah, that's as far as we got yesterday in the Mishnah. So, ha'omer ehei arezeh nazir. Then the Mishnah goes on, oh, ehei na'eh. Well, that's what we're going to open up with today. So I'll just translate, I would like to be beautiful. You're going to become a nazir if you say that. Then the Mishnah goes on to give examples of kinuyim, naziach, naziach, paziach arezeh nazir. Then the Mishnah goes back to giving more examples regarding Yados. Hareini kazeh. Hareini misalsel. Hareini michalkel. Harei alai l'shaleach pera. Okay, so those are four examples in which it serves as a form of becoming a Nazir. In today's daf, we're going to go through all four. And then finally, harei alai tziparim. Remeir omer nazir v'chachamim omer mein nazir. Person says that I am going to be taking on birds. Machlokis amongst the Tanaim, whether the person is going to be a Nazir or not. As promised yesterday, at the end of today's daf, we're going to go through exactly what is the machlokis between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Good. So we have now basically retraced the Mishnah, outlined the Mishnah again, and we're going to pick it up now. We're on Beis Amud Beis, so we're starting at the two dots, and we're starting with Ehena en Nazir. So the person says, I'm going to be not, I'm going to be beautiful. So such a declaration will produce his acceptance to becoming a Nazir. And the Gemara asks the obvious question, how do we get from the words Hare Na'eh to becoming a Nazir? V'dilma now lefan of b'mitzvos. So the Gemara says, first of all, a person says he wants to be beautiful. Couldn't it just simply mean that he wants to be beautiful in terms of mitzvos? The kid Tanya, we learned in a brisa, Zeke Levan Veyu. So the pasuk in next week's parsha, Parsha's Bishalach, and the Gemara darshens this a number of times throughout Shas, and that is that this is my God, Ve'anvehu, and I will adorn him. I will beautify him. And what does that mean, I will beautify him? The Gemara goes on to explain, the Bryce explains, I'll make it beautiful via mitzvos. Es elefan of sukkah na'eh, lulav na'eh, tzitzis na'eh. So this is an idea that we have multiple times, coming up multiple times, making for multiple shiurim. But right now, just a simple pshat, and that is, make your mitzvahs beautiful. Make the sukkah, lulav, tzitzis, the ksiva, sefer Torah, acharena b'shirayim, right, the mantle that you put on the sefer Torah, so the silk that you put on the sefer Torah, so all that should be beautiful. Good. And there's much to discuss over here in terms of noy mitzvah and beautifying mitzvahs. The Gemara in the third parak in Sukkah discusses this at length. Anyway, all we need for right now for our purposes is the idea that when you say Ehena, I'm going to be beautiful, so that's simply going to be insufficient. Meaning, there's no way we can get from I'm going to be beautiful to me becoming a Nazir. So Amr Shmuel Shetafas Besaro. So Shmuel says that what you did is that when you said Na'eh, what you did is you grabbed onto your hair. The Amar and Na'eh. And you said that I'm going to become beautiful while grabbing onto your hair. So the Gemara says, and in doing so, so that is now going to be sufficient. So in other words, what we're saying is that you not only made the declaration of I'm going to be beautiful, but at the same time, you also grabbed your hair. Now we get to the point where it's understood that you're going to become a Nazir, because effectively what you're saying is that I'm going to be beautiful in a mitzvah that has to do with hair. So what mitzvah has to do with hair? The answer, of course, is being a Nazir. Okay, and the Gemara is bothered. And the Gemara says, and before we get to the Gemara's next question, so let's just pause here for a moment, and let's make Tosus's point. And that is that now, going back to the Mishnah, going back to yesterday's daf, so we really have two declarative partial sentences, and they're not the same. Meaning, go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Ha Omer Ehei, Hare Zeh Nazir. Then the Mishnah said, O Ehei Na'eh, Nazir. Okay, so, either by saying the word Ehei, the person's a Nazir, or if he says Ehei Na'eh, he's going to be a Nazir. So Tosos notes, first of all, before we get to Tosos, meaning the Gemara notes, that you need contextual clues that come together with both of these. What are the contextual clues? When it comes to the first of a hay, so you have to have a nazir walking in front of you. The next one is when you say, hey, na'eh, I'm going to be beautiful, you have to be holding your hair while saying the words, hey, na'eh. So those are two different contextual clues. Tosfos points out that first of all, explains the structure of the Mishnah, the text of the Mishnah. Meaning, when you go back to the Mishnah, why didn't the Mishnah just simply put these two together? Meaning, how could the Mishnah rather have been constructed? The Mishnah could have said either Ha'omer Ehei, O Ehei Na'eh, Harei Zeh Nazir. The Mishnah doesn't do that. The Mishnah says Ha'omer Ehei, Harei Zeh Nazir. Meaning, clearly the Mishnah wants to put a bracket right there. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, O Ehei Na'eh, he's going to be a Nazir. Clearly the Mishnah over here is breaking up the two, and Tosfos points out over here, because they're not the same. In fact, they need different contextual clues for these two partial sentences. And Tosfos goes on, by the way, the Tosfos I'm making reference to over here is Amar Shmuel Shetafas Besara. And Tosfos points out over here that you can't mix up the contextual clues for these two. Meaning, consider, when the person says, Ha'omer, hey, I would like to be, meaning that is a statement of emulation. Meaning, I would like to be like something. So over there by itself, if you just simply say, I'm going to be, and what do? You point to your hair, I'm going to be like my hair, that obviously makes no sense. So over here, when you say the words, Omer Ehei, there has to be a model in front of you. That's why, Tosfos points out, there has to be a Nazir walking in front of you. Then when we get to the next yad of the Mishnah, I would like to be beautiful. So you're over here, you're not saying I want to be like something. In other words, you're describing you would like to be in a state of beauty. Now, what does beautiful mean? So beautiful means, in other words, there's no bigger beauty than mitzvahs. Oh. So what the Gemara then is bothered by is that, oh, so the statement is obviously a reference to mitzvahs, but which mitzvah is he talking about? That's exactly the Gemara's question. Because it could be sukkah, it could be Sefer Torah. I mean, it could be any mitzvah in which you beautify yourself with. And so what the, and so there, Tosfos points out, that's why it, when you say the words, ahena'eh, you're literally just holding your hair. Meaning, so now you're talking about the beautification of a particular mitzvah. Which mitzvah? The mitzvah of hair. No. So Tosfos says that really, these are two different yados that demand two totally different contextual clues. Good. Adkan, that takes us to the end of distinguishing and making a sharp distinction in the Mishnah between these two cases. Now we get to go on in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So you're talking about becoming beautiful in the mitzvah. So Nazirus is a beautiful mitzvah. The Gemara says, really? Nazir milsa da avera. Ve'amin alei na'eh? So how could that be? Meaning becoming a Nazir is an avera. And meanwhile, you're using the word na'eh to describe Nazir. So the so over here we get to an issue. I raised it yesterday in the introduction to the daf and to the Masechta, but now basically we're gonna hit it almost dead on, and that is the Gemara is describing the mitzvah of Nazir as not something which is beautiful, but basically it's a concession. In other words, what is being a Nazir? Nazir is precious. It's basically separation. A person does not want to engage in the world. He wants to disengage from the world. He wants to distance himself from the world. And the Gemara describes it as something which is not appropriate. It's not an appropriate behavior. So when you say, I want to be beautiful, so I understand if we're talking about a mitzvah, which is a quote-unquote beautiful mitzvah, I understand. But Nazirus is not a beautiful mitzvah, and that's exactly what bothers the Gemara. And how can we label the word na'eh, even as he's holding his hair, even as he's describing the mitzvah of Nazir, how can you use the word na'eh to describe such a mitzvah? So the Gemara says in, so the Gemara gives a really interesting answer. As we are now on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, sure, da'afilo the Rabbi Lazar Kafer damer Nazir chote, even according to Rabbi Lazar Kafer, who says that Nazir is a chote. Now, as I mentioned yesterday in the intro, it's a machlokis ha-tanayim. The Tanayim argue as to whether or not the Nazir is a chote. And by the way, the biggest piece of evidence that the Nazir is a chote is because at the conclusion, at the termination of his Nazirus, what does he bring? He brings the Karban Chatas. Okay. You don't need that much evidence to indicate that it's not, the Torah is not feeling complimentary to someone who's a Nazir. And Rav Elazar Kafar is the strongest of the positions in which the Nazir is in fact considered a chote. So once again, we are asking the question, the Gemara is asking the question, how could you use the word na'eh to describe the mitzvah of being a Nazir? So the Gemara explains, da'afilu Rav Elazar Kafar damer Nazir chote, hani mili, that's true, gabi Nazir tamei, da'aydi da'bai mister, da'amar rachmana v'ayamei marishin yiplu, ki tamei nizro. So hasam hu dilma asir l'me'eved al Nazirus say, aval Nazir tahar laf chote karilei. So the Gemara explains like this. Even according to Rav Elazar Kafar, not every Nazir is a chote. Notably, which Nazir is a chote? The one that becomes tameh. As we discussed yesterday in our intro, what happens with a Nazir is that he takes on Nazirus for a certain amount of time. It's up to him to decide, minimum of 30 days. Good. So let's say he becomes a Nazir for 30 days. Good. He takes on the minimum base amount of being a Nazir, and now he's 25 days in, and by accident he walks through a cemetery, or even on purpose. But in other words, he walks through a cemetery. So now what does he have to do? So every day that he counted now is going to fall. He has to first be matar himself. Then he's got to bring the karbanos that restarts his nazirus. And then he's got to count again. Now, at that point in time, he was ready to accept upon himself being a nazir for a month. But now he's basically going to become a nazir for 2 months. At that point in time, he will be filled with regret, having now taken not one but 2 months of being a Nazir, and he'll be Toeh. And he'll just basically have full regret on that which he accepted. Such a Nazir, the Gemara now explains, according to Rabbi Elazar Kafar, is a Chote. Because there's little chance that he's going to be happy about having to restart his Nazirus anew. But if you have a Nazir who is going to basically start and finish as he planned, such a Nazir is not going to be a Chote. That is what the Gemara is proposing according to Rav Elazar Kafar. And therefore, when the person says that he's going to be Na'eh, and he's holding on to his hair, it could be understood and interpreted as him being a Nazir, meaning Nazir is beautiful, and the mitzvah of Nazir is beautiful. I, Rav Elazar Kafar, talking about a Nazir who becomes Tameh, and therefore probably is not going to want to end up finishing it, and will do so, but with a lot of regrets. And such a Nazir is going to be a Chote. Now, everything I just said is simple pshat in the Gemara. That's all wonderful. Tosfos points out that every time we quote Rav Elazar Kafar throughout Shas, we're going to be quoting him later in our Masechta. We're quoting him on Daf Yates, and we quote him in other places as well. We never give this kind of modification that we just gave today. Meaning in today's Daf, we're saying that according to Rav Elazar Kafar, Nazir is a Chote, but only when he becomes Tameh and filled with regret. But otherwise, it's a great thing. So Tosfos points out over here, that's not normally how we read Rav Elazar Kafar. And a really interesting Tosfos over here on the bottom of Beis Amud Beis. I'd like to read it inside. It's great. So Tosfos says, I'm in the Tosfos, the Kasha. Tosfos dibra maschal v'amai na'e hamilsa. And I'm skipping three lines down into the Tosfos, the Kasha. Dama alma I see the Rav Elazar feel on Nazir Tahar. The simplest reading of Rav Elazar Kafar throughout Shas is that just simply abstention, that in of itself makes an individual a chote, and we don't have to get to the point of him becoming tame, having to restart his nazirus. Even just simply the act of abstention itself is a chote, according to Rav Elazar Kafar. And so what Tosfos is bothered by is that our Gemara's reading of Rav Elazar Kafar does not conform with the standard reading of Rav Elazar Kafar. And Tosfos answers, V'yesh lomar, D'tar nami k'sas kari lechote, O'mikom akom ha-mitzvah rabba al ha-chet. Talk about an interesting Tosfos. Tosfos writes over here as follows. According to Rav Elazar Kafar, yes. The fact that he feels the need to withdraw and to detach, And he can't handle wine, and he needs to totally remove himself. So Tosfos says it's two things: it's good, and it's bad. He writes, "I'm rereading Tahor Namiksas Karile Chote Umikom Akom HaMitzvah Rabba Al HaChet." Yes, the idea that he has to withdraw, according to Rav Elazar Kafar, is a bad thing. But at the same time, becoming a Nazir, even according to Rav Elazar Kafar, is a good thing. And over here, what do you have to do? You have to weigh. Meaning there are times when you're going to do something and it's good and it's bad. And I know it's much easier to just simply say it's binary. It's either good or it's bad. But Tosfos points out over here, sometimes it's not binary and sometimes it's a blend. It's a mix of the two. Well, before we get to Tosfos' comparison, so Tosfos says, and you, it's fine. Even according to Rav Elazar Kafar, you can call it na'eh. It's beautiful. What's beautiful? The mitzvah is beautiful. I, according to Rav Elazar Kafar, he's an ascetic. He's somebody who needs to withdraw. Okay, I get it. And that part's not good. Good, so there's a tinge of chet that comes along with being a Nazir. Okay, so according to Rav Elazar Kafar, being a Nazir is good and it's bad. It's both. It's both. And if you have to weigh the two, the good outweighs the bad. Good. And that's why our Gemara says, according to Rav Elazar Kafar, so you can still call the mitzvah na'eh. He doesn't believe in being an ascetic. You're right. But if a person wants to become a nazir, overall it's good, even though there's an aspect of it that's not. And Tosfos says, and if I can give you a comparison, me did the have, misanatan is chalom b'Shabbos. Let's say a person has a bad dream on Friday night, waking up on Shabbos morning and wants to accept upon himself a tanis chalom. Gemara in a number of places describes this and discusses this. So diyesh la mitzvah levatal achalam. Now, what does the fasting do? So somehow it mitigates the dream in manners in which I can't fully explain, but it mitigates. So, but meanwhile, what does he have to do? He has to fast on Shabbos. So viksas aver also shemasana b'Shabbos shavit zarech leishah b'tanis lemachris haShabbos lechaper ala rishonos. And the Gemara says that what do you have to do? Not only are you fasting on Shabbos, but at the same time, however, because you're fasting on Shabbos, so you need a kapara. So what are you going to do at a later point in time? You're going to fast again for having fasted on Shabbos. So I don't understand, says Tosfos, fasting on Shabbos. Was that good or bad? The answer is yes. It's good and it's bad. Meaning it's good because you need it for the mitigation of the dream. It's bad because you're fasting on Shabbos. So what should you do? You should fast on Shabbos. It's good and it's bad. Correct. That's absolutely correct. And I know it's bad because at a later point in time, later in the week, you're going to have to fast again as a kapara. Okay? So why did you fast on Shabbos? Because it's also good. So you have things, Tosfos gives another example, where it's good and it's bad. And Tosfos says the same thing with being a Nazir. According to Rav Elazar Kafer, a Nazir is, it's good and it's bad. Okay. A very nuanced Tosfos over here. Really beautiful understanding of Rav Elazar Kafer in general. Okay, we're going to go on. We're in Gimel Amud Aleph, we're at the two dots, and now we're going to just basically follow through the rest of the Mishnah. The remainder of today's daf is basically just step by step, understanding all the partial sentences expressed in the Mishnah. Harini Kazeh. So we're in on Gimel Amud Aleph, we're about 5-6 lines from the top of the Amud, and we're just going through now other examples of the Mishnah of Yados. So the Mishnah says, Harini Kazeh, I'm going to be like this. So Nehi Nami Detaf is Bisaro, so Harini Kazeh Lo Amar. So Tosfos over here, it takes a while struggling with the Girsa of the Gemara over here. Anyway, but the basic point of the Gemara is, when I say the words Harini Kazeh, and I'm holding my hair, so what? Meaning, I'm going to be like this. I'm going to be like my hair. Like, that sentence doesn't mean anything. So I'm a Shmuel, Kigon Shaya Nazir over Lefanov. So Shmuel says that in order for this to work, so it has to be a Yad, but in order for it to make sense, in order for it to be as unambiguous as possible, you have to have a Nazir walking in front of you when you say the words, when you utter the words, Harini Kazeh. Harini Misalsel. Now the word Misalsel means what? I'm going to twirl my hair. Once again, he's referring to his hair and how he wants to grow out his hair. So, Mimaida then says, Silsil Sa'ara. How do I know that the word Silsil is a reference to your hair? Kid Amr Le'ai Amta, Debe Rebbe, Lau Gavra. An Masai Tamasalsa Besarecha. So, we get to Amte de Rebbe. Amte de Rebbe, we discussed at the end of Ksuvos. It comes up in the Gemara Megillah, comes up in today's Daf, and Nazir Daf Gimel. And Amte de Rebbe, the maidservant of Rebbe, so, as just simply through osmosis of living in the house of Rebbe, so she knew plenty. And not only that, she helped the Talmid Chachamim in terms of definition. She also occasionally gave the Musar as well, right? She a special woman. Anyway, the Gemara over here points out that she turns to a young Talmid Chacham. Apparently, his hair was a little bit on the longer side, and she says, "No, stop playing with your hair." And by virtue of the fact that she says, "Ad Masayata Misalsel Bisarecha." So it helps us, the reader, understand what the word misalsel means. It's talking about hair. So Ema Torah Dichsiv Salsala Surama Mecca. So the Gemara says, I don't know, maybe it's a reference to Torah. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Mishlei, that what you do is that you turn over the Torah again and again, looking for more pshatim again and again. So why isn't that the reference over there? So the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel Achanami Shetafas Besaro. So the Gemara says that what we're describing over here is where he's holding on to his hair. And in holding onto his hair, so once again, that gives us enough contextual clues in which it's not only salsala by itself, because again, we have psukim taking us to different locations, so that's ambiguity in order to cut out the ambiguity, so you're holding onto your hair while you're saying it. So it cuts down on the ambiguity. Harini mechalkel, here we go, next phrase of the Mishnah. Mi mai da'adin kilkul sarahu, the word kilkul, it's a reference to hair, how do I know that? Kiddinah, we have a Mishnah in Shabbos, Sid. So how much of the Sid? Sid is some sort of chemical that people would carry around. It was for hair treatment. It was a chemical to treat the hair, either to flatten the hair, to remove the hair. So, on Shabbos, how much of it do you need to carry in order to be chayiv? The Mishnayos and Shabbos are very detailed, extremely descriptive in terms of each item, how much of that item you need to carry in order to have successfully violated Shabbos and the Malacha of Hotzah. Good. So the how much Sid do you have to carry? So the Rabbi Yehuda Amar Kedei Lasud Kilkul. So it's enough for the application of the Kilkul. And Amarav Bas Tzida. The word Kilkul is a reference to your hair, specifically the temples of your head. So in other words, enough application of this chemical to put to your temples of your head. Anyway, we get from all this that the word kilkul is associated with hair. Ema mazin ene. So the Gemara says, I don't know. Maybe the word kilkul means to sustain the poor. Meaning, maybe the word kilkul just simply means I'm going to give tzedakah. And how do I know that the word kilkel is a reference to supporting? Yosef supported his father, his brothers. So Amar Shmuel, Hachanami Shetafas Besaro. So once again, what happened now? We have the word kilkel. And we have now interpretations going in two different directions. It's funny, over here it's not competing psukim, it's a Mishnah versus a pasuk. But still, we have different source material taking us in two different directions. So what does Shmuel do? Again now, I've lost count how many times between yesterday and today. But in other words, he reduces the ambiguity with a contextual clue. Notably, you're holding your hair. So since you say the word kilkul, and one of the interpretations of kilkul is a reference to hair, and because you're holding it, so now we know it's a reference to your hair. Good. So the hare alai l'shalech pera hare zenazir shiluach pera. Now the word shiluach means what? It's perfect. So the Gemara's assumption right now is that the word shiluach means to grow your hair, right? Pera is a reference to your hair, but shiluach means to grow it. So mi dad din shiluach ribu yehu. The Gemara says, yeah. How did you know? How did you know the word shiluach is a reference to growing your hair? Dichsiv shlachayich pardes rimonim. So pasuk and shir shirim giving a description. A man's describing a woman. So your growth is like pardes rimonim. It's like a pomegranate orchard. Good. So clearly over here the word shalachech is a reference to growth. So the Gemara says, I don't know. I can find you another pasuk. Notably, a pasuk in Eov, in the fifth parak of Eov, the Navi goes on to describe how the water leaves the heavens in order to go down to the earth. Visholeach mayim. Now, again, I could translate the pasuk as the water was sent, but in other words, but over here, sholeach in the context of it started up in the heaven and it left the heaven. In fact, if you look at the pasuk in its entirety, hanosein matar al panei aretz, visholeach mayim al panei chutzos. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave rain on the ground and sholeach mayim and sent the water over the field. So anyway, so what comes out over here is that the word sholech in the context of Eov seems not that it's talking about growth, but rather to send away. So the Gemara says, Tana, pera pera yolef. Ksiv hacha kadosh yeh gadol pera, uksiv hasem gabe kohen hejon, ufera lo yishalechu. So the Gemara says, okay, so we have the word pera. Clearly the word pera is a reference to hair. We have Xer Shava teaching us that. Ufer lo yishalechu, the pasuk is describing, the pasuk is in Yechezkel. The pasuk is describing that Kohanim are not allowed to grow out their hair. Kohanim must be getting a haircut. How much is considered hair that is too long? So it's going to be basically be a month's worth of hair. So how do we know that? So Tosfos over here quotes it's a gzeira shava, meaning that the Torah in describing the growth of the hair of a nazir, kadosh yiyeh gadel pera, that whatever the nazir is growing out, the hair that the nazir is growing out is considered pera, it's considered wild hair. Now we know a nazir is going to be a nazir at minimum 30 days. How do I know that? Go back to the pasuk. Kadosh yiyeh. The word yiyeh in gematria is 30. Now, you've heard me say this before numerous times, and that is how many gematrias yield a halacha. Meaning normally gematrias are what the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos describes as being parparos. It's delicacies. It's dessert. Meaning it's not the meat and potatoes of the Torah. It's sweet. It's delicious. It's lovely. But in other words, you're not going to yield halacha learning out from gematria. But one of the rare exceptions, one of the rare cases where you have a gematria actually yielding a halacha. The word yiyeh begematria comes out to 30. So that means that the minimum amount of time that a nazir qualifies as a nazir is minimum 30 days. So since the Torah describes the Nazir as having 30 days of hair growth, so that means that the instructions in Sefer Yecheskel for the Kohen is that the Kohen can't have that kind of hair growth. So that means that a Kohen must be getting a haircut within 30 days. Anyway, what comes out from all this, as Tosfos points out over here, is that you see that the word pera is used in the context of hair growth. Good. So in other words, by virtue of the fact that he says, Hare alai lishaleach pera, so how do I know shaleach perach means to grow hair? So either because the word shaleach means to grow, as we saw, shalachachach pardes rimonim, the pasuk in Shir Shirim, couple that with the fact that the word pera is referring to the growth of the hair, how do I know that? Using the gzeira shava. That's how I know it. The Gemara says, what about the pasuk in Eov? So the Gemara says, okay, I got you. The pasuk in Iyov doesn't necessarily mean grow. E by Seima, the Gemara says, you know what? I take it back. Maybe the pasuk in Iyov actually does mean grow. How do I know that? Hai sholech mayim, nami ribuyehu. And then we have parenthetically, it could be attributed to Rav Yosef. Either way, dechad mashkin lemaya lapera v'rabe. Because what happens when the water goes and hits the ground? It causes growth. So in other words, the pasuk in Iyov could also be interpreted that the word sholeach does not mean to send the water away, but rather the water is sent in order to create growth. Okay, so in other words, so what now leaves us all together is that there is no ambiguity, meaning that the pasuk in Iyov, the pasuk in Shir Shirim, the gzeirah shava of Pera all indicate that when you say hare alayla sholeach Pera, what you mean is I want to grow up my hair. Okay, good. Period. Okay, and the last part in today's daf. We are here on the towards the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph. So we went through every one of the partial statements of the Mishnah. We interpreted how it comes out that every one of those partial statements will yield a commitment to becoming a Nazir. Right? Every one of the statements in the Mishnah, not every one, but most of the statements in the Mishnah are Yados. And what we did is basically through yesterday and today, we knocked out a lot of the ambiguity so that it's better understood that that was a partial statement resulting in a commitment of becoming a Nazir. And finally, now we're at the last point of the Mishnah, where he says, Hare alat siparin. I take upon myself birds. And a machlokes tanaim, whether or not the person is or is not going to be a Nazir, according to Rameyer, that's a commitment to becoming a Nazir, and according to the Chachamim, no, it's not. Okay. And the obvious question, which the Gemara now is going to ask, is, how do we get from A to B? How do we get from I'm accepting upon myself birds to now the person wants to become a Nazir? Okay. Now, again, just a quick background in order to appreciate the upcoming Gemara. The Nazir, at the conclusion of his Naziros, is going to be bringing Karbanos. I pointed this out yesterday. So, sorry. Oh, sorry. Okay, I'm back. So I pointed this out yesterday. So there are three Karbanos that he brings at the conclusion. All three of the Karbanos are animals. They're behemoths. They're not birds. The Nazir at the conclusion is going to be bringing a Chatas, an Olam, and a Shlamim. Okay? And later in the Masechta, we're going to be going over in much more detail exactly how the Karbanos are brought, or the details of the Karbanos. We're going to go through it in much greater detail. But right now, for our purposes, what we have to keep straight is that at the conclusion of his Naziris, he brings three Karbanos. They're all animals. However, if the Nazir becomes Tameh. So as I pointed out earlier this morning, so what has he got to do? If he becomes Tameh, first he's got to become Tahor, and then he's got to restart. He's got to reboot. How do you reboot? You also bring three Karbanos, but the three Karbanos that you bring when you are when you're a Tameh now who wants to restart your Naziros, so there you're going to be bringing three Karbanos. Two of those three Karbanos are going to be birds. So the birds are going to be an Ola and a Chatas. Pair of birds are always going to be Ola Chatas, right? That's the generally that is the standard for birds. And one's going to be an Ola and the other one's going to be a Chatas. And on top of that, you're also going to be bringing an Asham as well, but the Asham is going to be an animal. Okay, good. So So when a person makes a declaration of becoming Nazir and he says that he's going to bring a pair of birds, how do we get from birds to becoming a Nazir? And right now, what are we going to reject almost immediately? Meaning, when he says birds, he's referring to the birds that are brought at the end of his Naziris. But as we just pointed out, that's not true. Meaning, when you conclude your Naziris, you don't bring a pair of birds. The pair of birds are only going to be brought when you become a Nazir Tameh, and you want to restart. You have to restart your Naziris. So there, in order to transition from being a Nazir Tameh to being a Nazir Tahor, so you have to bring a pair of birds. But that's the only time you bring a pair of birds. Meaning, when you conclude your Naziris proper, you're not bringing a pair of birds. You're bringing three Karbanos, they're all animals.
a chatas, an ola, and a shlamim. So over here, so now we're resetting the Gemara's question. Reb Meir says that when you say harei alai tziporim, it means you're taking on becoming a nazir. How do we get from pair of birds, tziporim, how do we get from there to becoming a nazir? Okay, it's a strong question. So that's the Gemara's question. Harei alai tziporim, Reb Meir omer nazir. So the Gemara is now going to give not one but two proposals in terms of how Rebbe Meir takes us from the word Sipurim to that is an acceptance of becoming a Nazir. My time in the Rebbe Meir, I'm a Reish Lakish. So here is proposal number one of the Gemara. This is Reish Lakish. Sipurim smuchim l'seir kibel alav. Dichsiv adesa are kenishun rabba v'tifrohi kitsipurim. So Reish Lakish says we have an idea of what's called smuchin. Now this is an unusual usage of the word smuchin. Smuchin usually means that when I have psukim that are next to one another, so that will inform us of a particular halacha. That's not what we're talking about over here. When we say smuchin over here, what we mean is that I am making reference to a pasuk that has two ideas over there. When I cite that pasuk, so my citation of the pasuk is taking me from one part of the pasuk to another part of the pasuk. Meaning my intention is that I'm clearly looking at that pasuk and making reference one from one point to another. Now, for you and I, and I'm only going to be speaking about myself right now, who don't know the pasukim in Daniel, so when I say the word Sipurim, I am not thinking about the pasuk in Daniel. Okay? I've been through the Sefer, but that doesn't mean I know the Sefer. Far, far from it. So when I'm thinking of the word Sipurim, I am not immediately taking to the pasuk in Daniel. Okay? But that's because of my ignorance of Sefer Daniel. But meanwhile, anyone who has common knowledge of Sefer Daniel, so you know that in the fourth parak of Daniel, so in describing Nebuchadnezzar, in his turning from a human into an animal, and I know that sounds strange, but in the pasuk's description of Nebuchadnezzar becoming an animal, so one of the things described over there is that the Navi, Daniel, is saying about Nebuchadnezzar that basically you're going to turn into an animal, and over here you're going to be growing out feathers, right? That's the right ad desa ari kenishrin. You're gonna grow out feathers like an eagle, and v'tafrui kitziporin, and your fingernails are gonna be like that of a bird. So anyway, so what we have over here is this pasuk in Sefer Daniel with a description of bird tziporin, and Rameir saver matvis enish b'midid the samichlei. And so Rameir says that what happened was that when he said tziporin, he was making reference to this pasuk, and this pasuk over here is basically a connector to the idea of here, because in the same pasuk, you also have adei sa'arei kenishrin. Hair is going to grow like an eagle. Okay, and I know eagle doesn't grow hair, they grow feathers, but still, the word sa'ar is used over there. Good. So Rameir says that that's what a person's mind goes to when he says the word siparin. He goes to that pasuk in Daniel. So that's what's called hatfasa. And again, by the way, we're using the word hatfasa not in the classic way that we've been using it throughout Masechta Nedarim. Hatfasa over here just simply means connection. Connection to the pasuk in Daniel that associates the word Sipurim to that of the word Seir. Good. The Rabbanan Savre, and according to the Chachamim, lo matfis inish to mimidid the samichlei. No, the Chachamim do not believe in this way, in this form of word association. We're in the top of Gimel and Beis. Okay, so how do we get from Rameir, how do you get from the word Sipurim to the fact that you are now growing your hair and you want to become a Nazir? So according to Reish Lakish, his understanding of Rebbe Meir, it's done via hatfasa. I'm using the word hatfasa specific to our context. Associating, making reference to a pasuk where I have these two ideas in the same pasuk. Good. Rav Yochanan amar dekulei amar lo matfis, and Rav Yochanan says, no one does this form of association. El ha'ina tamid de Rav Meir, Rav Yochanan says, for a different reason. And that is the chayshin and shemet zipori nazir tamid kibal alav. What he was taking upon himself was the tzipori nazir tamei, the birds of a nazir tamei. So the Gemara says, this explanation of Rav Yochanan, he's taking on the birds of a nazir tamei. Now again, as I mentioned in our brief intro, what do you mean he's taking on the birds of a nazir tamei? Such an individual is even if he wants to become a nazir, certainly doesn't want to become a nazir tamei. So when he's referring to birds, so that he's looking forward to becoming a Nazir Tameh, so you have to say the Pshat in the Gemara, according to Rav Yochanan, is that no, what he's saying is I want to become a Nazir, and I'm accepting upon myself everything that means, including If I have to bring a pair of birds, I'll bring a pair of birds. Okay. So the Gemara says, Michti chayshin and kamar del mitzipor nedava kibbal alav. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Over here, doesn't it already have ambiguity? Meaning when you say tziporim, tziporim can mean a number of things. For example, tziporim can mean tzipor nedava. A person wants to bring a voluntary pair of birds to the base of Mikdash. By all means, a person can bring a voluntary pair of birds to the base of Mikdash. A pair of bird olas. So why doesn't the word tziporim over there just simply mean that he wants to bring voluntary birds? Im kein arei alai kein mi ba'ile. The Gemara says, yeah, but in terms of Lashon B'nei Adam, when a person's referring to voluntary birds, he says the word kain, which is a pair of birds. But that is usually what's used in reference to voluntary birds. Good. Tosos on the very top says that's the derech. That's just simply the way people spoke. So v'dil mahare alai tziporim mitzara kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, what he was doing is that maybe he wanted to sponsor somebody else. Meaning maybe he himself didn't want to commit to becoming a Nazir, but if somebody needed sponsorship to bring a pair of birds, maybe he wanted to sponsor. Kigon Shaya Nazir over Lefanov. So I'm ahead of myself a little bit. Not yet. That point is coming up. Vidilma, let me reread this. Let me do this correctly. Vidilma, hare alai tziporim mitzara kamar. Maybe what he wanted to do was supply birds to a mitzara. Meaning, we know that the mitzara, at the conclusion of his saras, has to bring a pair of birds. And oh, by the way, that's not always true. In other words, it depends on his economic status. But still, in other words, there are mitzaraim that have to bring a pair of birds at the conclusion of his saras. So maybe he wants to go ahead and support a mitzara and sponsor a mitzara. That's what he meant. Kigon Shaya Nazir over Lefanav. So the Gemara says no, because once again we are given more contextual clues. Notably, he has a Nazir walking in front of him. V'dilma Nazir Tamei Lepochim in Karbanos Kamar. Now we could say it. So maybe it's true. Maybe there is a Nazir walking in front of him, and maybe he does make a reference to bird. But maybe the reference to bird, as it relates to the Nazir, is talking about where it's sponsorship. Meaning the Nazir walking in front of him is a Nazir Tamei, and maybe what he's prepared to do is sponsor that Nazir. Kigon Shaya Nazir Tahor over Lefanav. The Gemara says, no, it wasn't a Nazir Tamei, but rather it was a Nazir Tahor. Okay, and how does he know that he's a Nazir Tahor? Okay, I'm going to say simply, Tosu says it as well, and that is, he knows it's a Nazir Tahor that's walking in front of him, and maybe that's what he's talking about when he's talking about sponsorship. To which the Gemara says, my Beinai, what's the difference? Meaning. So what we have over here is as follows. We have not one, but two different explanations of Reb Meir. Reb Meir says that when a person says the word Tziporin, Harei Alai Tziporin, he's accepting upon himself to be a Nazir. So how do we get from A to B? How do we get from Harei Alai Tziporin to him becoming a Nazir? And the Gemara gave not one, but two different explanations. One Reish Lakish, the other is Rav Yochanan. Reish Lakish says it's association. It's word association. Smuchin. The fact that the Pasuk in Daniel, who has the word Tziporin right next to the word Sear, so that's what he was thinking about when he said the word Tziporin. That's word association. And according to Rav Yochanan, no, it has nothing to do with word association. The word Tziporin is because there's more contextual clue. In other words, he's making reference to the Tziporin that are brought by the Nazir. And there was a Nazir that was walking in front of us. And not a Nazir Tameh, because had it been a Nazir Tameh, it could have been interpreted that he just wants to sponsor the Nazir Tameh. Meaning there's a Nazir Tahor, and he says the word Tziporin, and there is a connection. It's not a direct, but there is a connection between birds and a Nazirus, because a Nazir is going to bring birds, but only in the event that he becomes Tameh. Good. So that is how we get from Rabbi Meir saying Tziporin to him being a Nazir. Either we're going to go the Reish Lakish track, or we're going to go down the Rav Yochanan track. So my Beinah, the Gemara says, what's a Nafkamina? So the Nafkamina would be Ika Beinah, Tziporin Asmuchin L'Sera Alai. So the Rav Yochanan Afagav Damar Hachi Inazir Over Lafanav In Ilo Lo. So what if it's clear that he's making word association? So he says, he actually articulates and he says, Tziporin Asmuchin L'Sera Alai. I want that Pasuk and Sefer Daniel. You know how it describes Nebuchadnezzar with the birds and the seer. He clearly is showing you that he wants word association. So according to Rav Yochanan, word association does not result in a neder. And therefore, according to Rav Yochanan, even though he's saying word association, it won't result in a neder. And according to Reish Lakish, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Afagav de Nazir over Lefanov. And according to Reish Lakish, word association by itself is going to be sufficient. Okay. So the so me ikalaman damar lomad fisinish milsa de samachleva tanya. So the Gemara says, okay. So now you're telling me that whether or not we subscribe to word association, so is subject to machlokas, meaning we now have a machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim and our Mishnah. In the sheet of Rav Meir, we have a machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And according to Reish Lakish, there's something called word association, which would result in a neder. But that is only according to Reish Lakish, and only within his interpretation of Rav Meir. Okay. The Gemara says, are you right about that? That's the only time you're going to be, only there we have word association? So me, Ikalaman Damar, I'm just rereading the Gemara's question. Lo matfis inish memilsa de samichlei. So v'atanya ha'omer yamin harei, harei zeshvua. When a person says the words yamin, so that's a reference to shvua. My time, alav mishum dechsiv, v'yaram yamino smolol shamayim, v'yishava b'chaya olam. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why, because of Pasuk in Daniel. Okay, it's so interesting in today's daf, right, that people are creating word associations based on Pesukim and Daniel. Now, it's not fair because, as I already, I'm not proud of my ignorance, but I already expressed to you that I'm not familiar with the Sefer. I don't know Sefer Daniel. But it's clear from the Gemara that this is now our second example in today's daf where people are making word associations based on Pesukim and Sefer Daniel, meaning Sefer, I assume this is true by all of Tanakh, but people really had a handle on Sefer Daniel. So anyway, so the Gemara says, so can't you see that from our now second word association Sefer Daniel? So the Gemara says, no, Amri lo. No, you're wrong. Meaning that's not why the word yamin means shvua. Mishum di yamin gufe ekre shvua. It's not word association. It's mamish definition of the word itself. Detanya, we learned on the Brisa minayin lo, yamin shi shvua. How do I know the word yamin is a reference to shvua? Shemar nishba shem bi yamino. It's mamish pshat in the pasuk. So, uminan lomer small shi shvua. Also, by the way, small is also shvua as well. Shenemar uzroa uzo. The word zroa is referring to is a reference to the left arm. That's the arm with the tefillin on it. Anyway, it's not word association. It's mamish pshat in the word itself. Yamin is a reference to shvua. Small also is a reference to shvua as well. So the Gemara's question of right, is there anyone who doesn't hold a word association? The answer is sure. Plenty of people who don't hold to this word association and the proof of yamin and small, that's not word association, that's mamish definition itself. I'd kind of, we're going to stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the Mishnah, and let's quickly recap, let's review. Okay, we really covered one topic today, and that is part two of Yados. Yesterday, the first daf of the Masechta, we talked about the declaration of becoming a Nazir via a Yad. And in today's daf, we continued going through the Mishnah, going through the examples of the Mishnah of what are examples of Yados and how to knock out the ambiguity when given all these examples. And basically, all we did today, very simple, very straightforward, is we covered all the examples in the Mishnah, meaning with the exception to the first one, Ha'omer Ehei, that we covered in yesterday's daf, but the example of Ehei Nazir, I'm going to become beautiful in the mitzvah. And this morning we spoke out, what a tosis we spoke out this morning regarding the ambiguity in the mitzvah of Nazir itself. Is it good or is it bad? And tosis posits that it's both. It's good and it's bad. Then after the Mishnah gives us examples of Kinuyim, then the Mishnah gave us examples of Harini Kazeh, Harini Misalsal, Harini Michalkal, Hare Alai L'Shaleach Pera. And in today's daf, we went through all those expressions and how they all result in yield in becoming a Nazir. Again, and we knocked out the ambiguity in so many, in all those cases, sorry. And then finally, the last thing that we just covered is Harei Alai Tziporin. When the person says Harei Alai Tziporin, according to Rav Meir, that is a commitment to becoming a Nazir. How did we get from Tziporim to being a Nazir? So that was the machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The Gemara pointed out that the Gemara expressed the two opinions. According to Reish Lakish, it's via word association, based on Pesukim and Daniel. According to Rav Yochanan, it's that when you say the word Tziporim and there's a Nazir Tahor walking in front of you, so now you put the two together, that creates enough contextual clues. And the nafkamina, the difference between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan would be, what if you clearly are stating that you're using word association? Would it work then? According to Reish Lakish, yes. According to Rav Yochanan, no. And finally, the Gemara notes that this idea of word association, doesn't everyone subscribe to it? And the Gemara says, no, not everyone subscribes to it. Adkan.